Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Humans of Excess Manchester with me, Clint Boone. This series is sponsored by our lovely friends at Safer Roads GM, helping us to keep ourselves and each other safe on the roads of Manchester. This week I'm joined by fashion and lifestyle blogger, YouTube and Instagram influencer, Megan Ellaby. Megan describes where a love of fashion came from.
I knew I always wanted to be in fashion. My mum has always been into like making clothes. She used to have a little stall on Bury Market. And she made wedding dresses, so she was always making some form of clothes.
And she talks about how she got into the world of blogging.
I remember I was supposed to be keeping a diary to like come back to uni with for my final year. And I'd forgotten.
Right.
So I really naively like Googled online diary and found Blogger.
It's a great pleasure to welcome to Humans of Excess Manchester a young lady who's fast becoming one of the country's most followed influencers in the world of fashion, music and lifestyle. Megan Ellaby, welcome to Humans of Excess Manchester.
Hello.
It's a great name, Megan Ellaby, isn't it?
Do you like it?
I think it's brilliant. I think your mum and dad must have known what they're doing when they called you Megan.
I'm quite proud of having Ellaby as my surname. It's a good one. I don't know what's going to happen if I ever get married.
Well, we'll talk about that, mate. Will you ever become Megan Craig, do you think?
Oh, God.
Yeah, we'll talk
about Megan Ellaby Craig.
Megan Ellaby. There's probably a name for that sequence of words, like Megan Ellaby. There's a name for it, isn't there? It's a bit like Ellen Rigby.
I like it. I need a song written about
Eleanor
now.
Eleanor Rigby. Megan Ellaby.
Love it.
Sunny. Yeah, that's it. Megan Ellaby. Right, so you've got quite a following, haven't you? 170,000 followers on Instagram last time I looked, and almost 100,000 on YouTube. Before we chat about what this amazing profile that you've got yourself to, just in the space of a couple of years or so, I want to talk about where you were born, when you were born, and your childhood. From Whitefield, aren't you originally? Is that right?
I am. Well, Radcliffe originally.
Radcliffe.
Yeah, I grew up in Radcliffe. That was my first house. Stayed there until I was about 10, and then we went to high school. Couldn't get in the school I wanted to in Radcliffe, or my mum and dad wanted me to.
Yeah.
So we moved to Whitefield and then grew up there, and now I'm in Prestwich.
Prestwich, so not far from home. And you've got one sister, is that right? Younger sister?
Younger sister,
so just two of you?
Yeah, just the two of us.
Brilliant. How did you get on at school? Were you a clever kid?
Faye was the clever one.
Right.
We're both creative, but I think I was more into my creative subjects and sport and things like that. But yeah, did all right. Not too bad. I had to work hard for it, though. It didn't come as natural as it did for my sister, so a lot of revising. But yeah, I was a bit of a good kid.
What were you focused on as a kid? Did you have a careers teacher that you saw you, like I did, what you were going to do when you grew up and all that kind of business?
Not really a careers teacher, but I knew I always wanted to be in fashion. My mum has always been into like making clothes. Like she used to have a little stall on Berry Market. I think it was Berry Market. On A Market. Yeah. And she made wedding dresses. So she was always making some form of clothes for us, or whether it was cushions and curtains and shit like that.
You can sell that. You can sell shit. You can sell the F word if you want. It's a podcast. You can get away with murder. Well, you can't actually get away with murder, but you can get away with any swear word you want, but shit's fine.
Words. Fab. Yeah. So yeah, there was always something going on like that, and Faye and I would always play fashion designers. That was our little game.
Right.
And then it got to school and I couldn't draw or make clothes for shit. So
that's enough now, potty mouth.
Oh, I know, God. Get me out of here. So I went down a bit of a different route with going to uni and studying like marketing, styling, PR. And that's kind of where I found my groove. But yeah, fashion was always something that I was interested in as a kid.
What was your destiny?
Well, it looks like it.
I know that music became a big thing for you later on in life, but what about later on in life? God, you're only a nipper still now.
27 in next month.
But what point did music, what was the first music that struck you?
I wrote a blog post about this not long ago, about like the music that shaped my life. But yeah, growing up, my dad has the best taste in music. Very eclectic, lots of different things. But he got me into rock and roll and things like that.
It was the original 50s rock and roll?
No, more like 60s, 70s thing.
Yeah.
David Bowie and the Stones and Crosby, Stills and Nash and things like that.
Right.
I've got so much thanking for with my music, my taste in music. Dusty Springfield.
Amazing.
I always remember listening to her in the car, and that's still like my favourite album, Dusty in Memphis.
Yeah.
So yeah, I always had music around us as kids.
And quality music.
Yeah, yeah. Really good quality music. Yeah. And yeah, it's just kind of evolved from there. Obviously, went through the whole pop stage. I was 90s kid, so I loved Spice Girls and
it's funny
Steps.
Though, I've got a daughter at your age, pretty much, and she was very much a Spice Girls and, you know, the pop stuff that was going on when she was like 5, 6, 7 years old. But at the time, I didn't even mind. I mean, I've always been into more substantial kind of music, but I just thought all these kids are getting into music because of the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
That's their introduction, and one day they will be into... You know what I'm saying? If anyway, my daughter now is very much into the, you know, the kind of music that I'm around.
Yeah, I went to see Spice Girls last week.
How was it?
Amazing. I was like right at the front, saw all the facial expressions, everything. Right. So I cried a few times.
Did they mention me?
No, they didn't.
Did they not?
No.
They never do. I met them once, actually.
Did you?
I just remembered, yeah, this little flashback here of a little story. I was at Abbey Road Studios. It'd be about 1999. And I think one of them had just left. So who was the first one to go? Was it Jerry that went first?
Jerry, yeah.
So I was in Abbey Road. We're doing some work in there. And we went into the little... They had like a cafe in the basement and a little, like a beer garden outside. And I was outside there with my manager at the time. Just having a, and the four Spice Girls walked out to have a smoke or whatever. And there was just... We were the only people in this little beer garden. Like
oh
six
God.
Of us. Me,
amazing.
My manager, and the four remaining Spice Girls. Like that,
so. Did you speak to him?
I should really stretch you out and say, yeah, we don't get out for an hour or two. And, you know what I mean? Swap numbers and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Talked about collaborating. But no, I nodded at them and they nodded back and that was it.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, so anyway, back to you. Enough about me. Spice Girls. So when you left university, did you go straight into work or did it take you a while to find your feet?
Yeah, I was really lucky, actually. So with my university course, I did fashion communication and promotion at Huddersfield. Picked Huddersfield because... close enough to go back home, but I was getting that kind of uni experience away.
Yeah.
And I did a placement year in my third year, so moved down to London briefly for like 6 months and did lots of different internships at places like House of Holland and Alexander McQueen, ASOS, and then came back and worked at JD Sports in Bury at their head office. And that's where I started my blog, because halfway through I remembered I was supposed to be keeping a diary to like come back to uni with for my final year. And I'd forgotten.
Right.
So I really naively like Googled online diary and found Blogger and just started like backtracking about what I'd been up to, shoot the pictures I'd shot on my like crappy iPhone 4 and just uploading them. And because I was working at places that were quite well known, those search terms were found and people found my blog. And then through that, I found other style blogs and thought, I want a piece of this.
How many years ago was this roughly when you started doing it?
6.5 years ago.
So before it was a massive thing then, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was bubbling, but quite naively. I didn't, even though I was studying fashion, I didn't really know too much about it. But people have been doing it for like 10, 11 years now. So yeah, I used to get up super early, get my tripod out of my mum and dad's drive and quickly snap my outfit before I went to work. So.
And that's pretty much, that's your story up to now, isn't it? Because you're still doing that. It's a lot more intensive now, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's your average day like now from getting up? You probably don't have an average day, do you? But just give us an idea of a kind of day in the life of Megan Ellaby.
I always get asked this. Yeah. I'm just like, oh God, because it is always different, which is why I love it so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, like shooting my outfits with a photographer, lots of emails, lots of admin and the boring stuff. Creating content in various different forms, whether that's for my blog, Instagram, YouTube. I've also got my own fashion line, so I'll be designing or doing things for that.
What's it called?
Saturday by Megan Ellaby. Right. Best day of the week.
It's best day of the week.
It is. Got all the happy vibes to it.
I like Sunday. That's the day that I try to do now. But,
do nothing.
But I do end up working a lot of the time. So you do a lot of travelling as well, don't you? That's whenever I've seen you popping up on social media, you seem to be in a different country.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Where have you been to recently?
Recently, last trip I did was to Primavera Festival in Barcelona.
Right.
So that was amazing. Totally different festival vibe to what I've been to here in the UK.
I've been to Benicassim. It's a different world. It's just a different world
it's
than
weird,
a British festival, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
Loved it.
So how does it work then, Megan? You were going out there, essentially you're going out for a bit of a jolly. You went to a festival. How do you integrate that with the work that you're doing as a blogger?
Well, with Primavera Festival, I was invited out there by a brand, so it was a work trip, a very lovely work trip.
Brilliant.
And, you know, we had a lot of fun. So usually there's a few deliverables and things like that that brands require. They've paid me to go out there and create the content for them. So yeah, once that's done, it's enjoy yourself.
It's brilliant. You've got an amazing job. I mean, I hate to use the word job because I know you don't see it as a job. But
it is a job.
Do you feel like you've got the best job in the world?
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. I love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. I mean, like any job, you know, there's things to it that aren't as fun. But with what I do, I share like the best bits. I try and keep it as real as possible, particularly on my blog. People who read my blog know a bit more about me than say Instagram audience, but yeah, I love it. It's amazing.
But do you ever wake up some days and think, oh, can't be arsed today with this all this traveling and photographing?
Not the traveling, that's always exciting, but like having your picture taken. Like some days I'm just like, nah, I just want to stay in my jammies and no makeup.
What about the amount of, I know you mentioned how many followers you've got there on like 100,000 on YouTube and 170,000 on Instagram. A lot of these are people that just look and, you know, clock what you're wearing and go and get it, whatever, the same sort of stuff. But a lot of the people communicate with you, don't, and that can be quite exhausting, can't it, keeping up with your fan base?
Yeah, I love it. I really do. I've got a really nice audience and I'm quite lucky in that respect. But it's important for me to keep chatting with them in the comments or in my messages and things like that, because I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if it wasn't for them. So, yeah. And a lot of them have started, because I used to work at ASOS. I got a bit waylaid on that question earlier. That was my first job out of uni. So people have been following me since those days. So yeah, it's really nice to chat with them, because they're ace.
Yeah.
Got a really nice audience.
It's like, it's exactly the same as if you were a musician and you've got a fan base and send your fan mail. In the old days, it was fan mail. It was letters, wasn't it? But now it's, you know, it's tweets, it's WhatsApp.
Yeah.
It's all this, but it's good that you keep in touch with them and embrace it. Do they inspire you sometimes? Do they send you pictures of stuff that they're wearing or buying and you think, yeah, I fancy that?
Yeah, definitely. I always get messages from people saying, I've seen this, it's so you. And yeah, they're always enabling me with new things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nice that it works both ways.
What's the best way for people to keep in touch and check out the brilliant work that you're doing, Megan? Is it the website?
Yeah, I would say my blog, my website, because that's what's kicked this whole thing off. It's my baby, really. I think like blogs aren't getting as much traction as they used to because Instagram's so instant and, you know, it's like mini blog posting themselves. So a lot of people who started off as bloggers are kind of neglected that side of things, which I found quite sad because it's my outlet. It's like a creative outlet and it's also a personal outlet. I literally treat it as a diary, you know, whatever I'm feeling. So that's why I said like, those readers, that audience, know me the most because that's where I pour my heart and soul into.
What do you think we'll be doing in 20 years' time? Where would you like to be at then?
Oh, bloody hell. 20 years' time, I'd like to have lots of babies and a quiet life, to be honest. I'd love to just be doing my fashion line. I don't think I'll still be on YouTube, that's for sure.
YouTube won't be a thing in 20 years' time, will
yeah.
it? Stuff like that won't be around.
No,
I think
it'll all be
on board, won't it?
Oh, God,
terrifying. So you won't have to communicate, just go like that.
Just stare at each other intensely. Yeah.
That's what I think is going to happen, isn't it? Or we're going to go back to writing letters again, aren't we? And
I hope so.
Going to the post box and not licking a stamp.
I get a couple of letters every now and again to my PO box. It's so nice that people actually still do write.
Let's talk about this man of yours, George Craig,
yes.
Because it's relevant because he was a guest on the Humans podcast recently. A lovely bloke, initially from Yorkshire. He came to Manchester because of you.
Yes.
But because of that, we've got Jimmy's in the Northern Quarter. So without you, we wouldn't have that bar, would we?
Nope. And I'm taking all the credit for that.
Does he credit it? Does he say this is...
Does he ick?
No.
I just have to bring it back down to earth every now and again and be like, remember why you're here?
How did you meet George? Because they met in London, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, we met in Manchester years ago. I was a fan of his band back in the day. And we met through that, stayed in touch, and then... Re-met, I guess, like 8 years later, bumped into each other in London.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
And you just said, I'm going back to Manchester, do you want to come with me?
Literally, we were both fed up of London. Yeah. I was itching to get back here, get back home. And he was like, right, let's do it. And kind of, he moved blind, like he'd played a few gigs here.
Yeah.
But didn't know what this city was about or anything. And he just trusted me. And here he is, loving it.
It's amazing. Well, it tells his story about the first time he ever came to Manchester was with the band One Night Only, supporting the Wombats and the Cortinas at the Roadhouse. I met him that visit. That's when I first met him.
Did you?
He came to see me at XFM, which is the radio station I used to work for. But the Roadhouse is pretty much next door to Jimmy's now, isn't it?
Yeah, so weird, isn't it, how it comes?
What about these dogs of yours? Your dogs feature quite a lot in your pictures, aren't they, Peter and Nancy?
They do, yes. My little sausage dogs.
Yeah.
Very cute.
Where did they get their names from, first of all?
So Nancy was named after Father John Misty song.
Right,
you can call me Nancy, that's the line.
Yeah.
Because we weren't supposed to bloody bring Nancy home and got sucked into it.
Did you get him from a private owner or was it a dog
rescue? We had Peter, I'm going to go and get him, and poor little Nancy with the runt of litter wasn't going to make it. So she was the only one left when we went to pick Peter up. And
right.
Couldn't leave her, and so George had the money in his back pocket because he bloody knew.
Did he?
He knew that I wouldn't be able to leave her.
So are they brother and sister then?
They are, yes. And
little dash hounds.
They're very cute. Little shits, as I said to you before.
Yeah.
But they are, they're very cute.
Yeah, we've got a dog, she's lovely. Little Dolly Boone. Tell us a bit more about your sister. What kind of person is she then? We know she's clever.
Yes, she is clever. She's lovely. She's ace. She's really, really fun, and I can't believe I'm saying this because we've always been really, really close, always as kids. But I love her more than ever now we work together every day, which I think is quite rare. Like a lot of people, if they work with their siblings, they'd be at each other's throats. But yeah, so far, touch wood, we've not had a row.
But if you know what your own, if you want to say departments are, that's going to make it easier. It's like in a band, isn't it? If you've got a drummer, he plays the drums and singer sings. They all know what they're doing, but if everybody tries to do a bit of everything, it can get a bit messy. So what's your department then? You're the visionary and the creator.
So I do the designs for Saturday. Usually I have quite a clear idea of what I want, and then she brings me back down to earth and is like, is that commercial, Megan? Is that going to sell? Which is quite a struggle for me because I like colour, I like prints, I like a good old slogan, but not everybody does. So that's something I need to rein myself in.
You mean slogan with. on the actual outfit?
On a T-shirt or the knitwear or something.
Have you made any slogans up?
No, that's to come.
I
really want to do like a Manc one.
Yeah.
You know, like mint or something like that.
Yeah, that's
but
good.
That's never going to sell anywhere outside of Manchester.
Mint. I probably would, you know. Probably
do you reckon?
Right. Yeah, I think so. Buzzing did all right,
Buzzing,
didn't it?
Another one.
We used to sell it all the time in the 1990s when Manchester was a big thing. It's like, oh, I'm buzzing, mate.
All right.
You're right, I'm vibing. Vibing and buzzing.
Yeah.
Nish. What are you up to? Nish. That means nothing.
Nish.
Nish, clish and bang means absolutely nothing
Nish,
at all.
Clish and what?
Nish, clish and bang.
Oh, right.
I don't know where it all came from. Just, what are you up to tonight, Nish? You know what I mean?
Fair, I've not heard that one.
That's it. Nish, clish and bang. Put that on a T-shirt.
Done.
You can have that.
Done. I'll send you one.
I'll take 10%. What about, we've heard about your brand, what about other brands that excite you? What, when you look out there in the fashion world, what inspires you the most? What labels or styles?
I love fellow Manc brand House of Holland.
Yeah.
Henry Holland went to my college in Bury and kindly gave me an internship, my very first one. And I was so excited because I'd followed everything he'd done and loved everything he did. So when he gave me my step into the industry, I was like, oh my God. So yeah, they're killing it for me. They again, they use like colour and print and they're just amazing at what they do.
Yeah.
But then I love like more niche brands like Lazy Oaf. Again, they have lots of fun with colour and things like that. And I look to the fancier brands as well. I'm a sucker for Gucci.
Right.
Gucci and Chloe, they're my faves.
Nothing wrong with that, is there?
But that's obviously every now and again, not very often.
And your brands, you're starting off at a different, you're aiming at a different market completely than brands like that. Starting off at the with the cool people.
Oh, yeah.
Cool party people.
Yeah.
Festival people.
Oh,
stuff like that.
Yeah.
You went seeing Cortinas last week at Eaton Park, didn't you?
I did.
How
yeah.
was that?
It was good. It was bloody muddy. But yeah, it was amazing. We had a right laugh. The atmosphere was electric and it was like on my doorstep, so that was lovely.
I remember George saying that's where you walk your dogs in Eaton Park. So what was it like seeing it one minute you're in there walking your dogs? And then next week you're there with the 50,000 people.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shocker. Poor Park's trashed, so muddy. But I went to see Oasis, that was the last gig I ever went to at Heaton Park. Years ago now, was it?
Yeah, it was 10 years exactly to the night when Noel played. Kasabian supported, didn't they?
No, Kasabian did, because that's when the power cut and we all got our money back.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
It was amazing, because I paid £10 on the door for it from a towel and then got £35 back.
Oh, brilliant. What a blagger.
Who knows?
Proper mank. Brilliant. Let's talk about Manchester.
Okay.
You being a Mancunian, how would you define the Mancunian spirit?
It's lively, to say the least. I think it's amazing. I am so proud of being from Manchester. I've lived here all my life, obviously, but did a bit of a stint in London, obviously Huddersfield, but nowhere compares to Manchester. The vibe here is just electric.
And you've travelled a lot, so you see these cities.
Yeah.
I remember a time when I used to travel around with the Inspirals to lots of beautiful cities around the world, and you'd always come back to Manchester thinking, we love Manchester, but it's not quite LA or Barcelona or Tokyo or Vancouver, but now it is. It's all it's all the best cities in the world rolled into one.
Definitely.
But on a much smaller plot of land and with a better quality of person.
There totally.
Just made that up on the fly.
Beautiful.
That. So you can't imagine moving away from here again?
No, we're definitely settled here.
Yeah, it's a good place to be based. And you want to have loads of babies, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's speak to George about that. Tell us something about him that he don't want you to tell us. Have you got any bad habits?
Got terrible habits.
Has he?
You know, most people have issues with people leaving towels on the bed or towels on the floor. George hangs towels on the back of a door.
Right.
Every door in our house has one of his items on it, and it drives me mad.
Cause on hooks
shut the door.
Or over the edge
no,
of the
door? No, just over the edge of the door.
Oh, we do that.
You don't really dust a door, do you? Well, I don't.
Well, that's right. That's probably why he's doing it. He's probably putting the towel up there to get the dust off it.
Yeah, and his clean towel, nice one. I mean, that's just something that bugs me, but other than that, he's all right. He's all right.
What are your favourite places in town to eat, walk, drink, dance?
I always feel super proud of Manchester when I'm walking from St. Peter's Square down to Spinning Fields, like the architecture around there, especially on a day like today when the sun is shining and you've got your headphones in. And I just feel so happy and so proud to be from here when I'm walking that exact stretch, go off at St. Peter's Square, off the tram and then walk down.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love
it.
Town Hall.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely stunning. Then, obviously, I love the Northern Quarter, but I'm edging a bit more towards Ancoats now.
Yeah.
Just loving what's going on around there.
It's beautiful. And it's a different spirit again than Northern Quarter or Castlefield, isn't it? It's just a different vibe completely.
Again, yeah, there's loads of little mini towns within town. It's amazing.
How far do you think you'll go with your actual fashion brand? And is that going to be a big thing, do you reckon?
I hope so, yeah. It's only launched in October last year, so it's very, very new. Still getting to grips with how it all works.
Yeah.
But my sister now works alongside me, helping, because she's she was a buyer for Misguided in town.
Right.
So she's come on board to help me with the numbers and stuff, because I am not very good at that. So, hopefully we'll turn it into this thing that we know it can be.
Yeah.
I love it. It's a dream of mine to have done this. I can't still pinch myself. It's crazy.
Let's see what happens in the 10 years from now. You probably have that established, have a load of people working for you.
Can you imagine?
People throwing money at you.
Oh God, that'd amazing. Be great.
What do you think about the development that's going on in cities? Somebody that's grown up here, do you find it exciting, or does it worry you a little bit when you see all the cranes going up outside the windows?
I find it exciting, but I do worry that, particularly with like renting prices and property prices, because I lived in London renting there and it was disgusting, and none of my friends who are now wanting to buy can buy in that city.
Right.
So I hope to God Manchester doesn't turn into that. But I do think it's exciting and it's amazing that Manchester's growing and becoming this place that everybody wants to visit.
Absolutely, yeah. It's good for all of us, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Who are your favourite humans of Manchester ever, Megan?
I'm going to do a bit of a cop-out here, but I'm going to say my dad.
Yeah, that's
and
not
if
a
I say my dad, I can't say not say my mum.
Right.
And then I'm going to say my Nana Doris.
Say your dogs as well if you want.
Not humans, Lachlan.
Some people would argue with that. I think our dog's definitely human in a dog's body. She definitely thinks she's a human being.
Oh, what kind of dog have you got?
It's called a Cavachon, so it's part Cavalier King Charles and part Bichon Frise Poodle.
Oh, gorgeous.
But she sleeps on our pillow, so she sleeps in between my head and my wife's head.
Oh, my God.
So you wake up some nights, she has big black eyes looking at that.
Staring at you.
But yeah, she's a good, great addition to the family. We've only had her like a year and a half something, but she's a beautiful little thing. So any other humans or dogs in Manchester?
I'm going to say Liam Gallagher as well. Love him.
Your other half said that as well.
He was, did he?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Before you go, Megan, describe Manchester in three words.
Vibrant, friendly and fun.
That's great. Megan Ellaby, thank you for being a human of Excess Manchester.
Thank you for having me.
There you go. That was Megan Ellaby. Next time, I'm joined by musician, producer and founding member of 808 State, Graham Massey. Don't forget to follow us on social media and subscribe to Humans of Excess Manchester. Rate us, feel free to leave us a review as well. We always like to get your feedback. Thanks to our friends at Safer Roads GM again for sponsoring this series, and thank you for listening. See you next week.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.